purgatory radically changed the life and the papacy of Pope Pius IX. And by the end of this video, you're going to understand how and why that happened and the unbelievable implications that it has for our modern church and your life today. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let's get right into it. Now, who on earth is Pope Pius IX? Before this video and the research, I knew probably hardly anything about him. He's one of those popes that is little known, that history has forgotten, but he has an incredible list of accolades. First of all, the thing that you need to know is that when he was elected by a so to speak, a liberal faction within the church, and they elected him as a liberal because that's what he was. The liberals throughout Europe and the Protestants were all excited because he was a man of light, a man of the Enlightenment, a man of reason. He was not going to be a conservative pope by any means. And in his first few years of being a pope, that's exactly what he did. For instance, some of the things that he did was he released prisoners, and he had certain documents that had to do more with social justice issues. Now, sometime in 1848, he had a radical change. Now, this is certainly due at least partially to some of the revolutions that he was seeing. Now, to put when he was being a pope in context, in 1830, we have the Miraculous Medal. Some years after that, you have the revolution in France. So these were years of revolution, of liberalism, of incredible shift throughout Europe, perhaps similar to what's happening actually right now. And when he saw how evil all of these things were, he became radically more conservative. Listen to some of the things and graces that God granted him. Now, first of all, he reigned from the 16th of June, 1846, to February 7th, 1878, 32 years, the longest papacy in recorded history. The only one who reigned longer was Pope Peter, although we don't have that recorded in history, but our tradition tells us that he was and always will be the one that reigned the longest. So 32 years granted to him by God. First, one of the things that he did was he was the one that approved the United States having the Immaculate Conception as our patroness on February 7th, 1847, which also happens to be the same day that he died and his papacy ended. Next, he defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th, 1854. Now, you're going to see a lot of December 8ths. Now, he was an intelligent man, so he knew exactly what he was doing. And when he defined that dogma, it's not like everyone agreed with him. There was strong opposition, but he went ahead and did it anyway. Then he had the Syllabus of Errors again on December 8th, 1864. What was the Syllabus of Errors? He named all of the errors of the day by name. He came out and pointed it out clearly so that everyone could know. Then he starts the First Vatican Council on December 8th, 1869, he opens it. That was a council that was going to define papal infallibility. He was going to centralize power where it needed to be through the Pope, which is not at all what the liberals wanted. Then, on top of all these incredible things, he declares Saint Joseph as the patron of the Universal Church on December 8th, 1870. Unbelievable. Now, to kind of put that into context, now, I don't have any really present opinion about Pope Leo, but imagine if he defined a dogma of Our Lady, if he convened a council to redefine and make clear the church's teaching on sexuality, and then he declared some incredible title on Saint Joseph. I would say hats off to this incredible pope who had unbelievable courage. Now, how does purgatory come into play? Because when you read the historians, they don't ever mention it. No, you have to find it somewhere else. Now, this was in a small pamphlet called Read Me or Rue It. Ever since I read it over 20 years ago, I never forget this detail, but I never connected it to how important a pope he was. Right now, you can only get the PDF on certain websites. I'm going to put the link down below. It used to be published by Tan Books. Listen to this story. The venerable Pontiff Pius IX appointed a holy and prudent religious named Padre Tommaso to be a bishop of a diocese. The priest, alarmed at the responsibility, put upon him begged earnestly to be excused. His protests were in vain. The Holy Father knew his merits. Overcome with apprehension, the humble religious solicited an audience with the Pope, who received him most graciously. Once more he pleaded earnestly to be excused, but the Pope was immovable. As a last recourse, Padre Tomaso told the Holy Father that he had a very bad memory, which would naturally prove to be a grave impediment in the high office put upon him. Pius IX answered with a smile, "Listen to this. This is good. Your diocese is very small in comparison with the universal church, which I carry on my shoulders. Your cares will be very light in comparison with mine. I, too, suffered from a grave defect of memory, but I promised to say a fervent prayer daily for the holy souls who in return have obtained for me an excellent memory. Do you likewise, dear Father, and you will have cause to rejoice." That reveals the answer. He daily prayed a fervent prayer for the souls in purgatory. Now, they had an incredible influence on him, whether he knew it or not, but certainly by the grace that they obtained for him. Think about it. They obtained for him an incredible memory. So the grace that they obtained, it's like they were right in his mind. And so they were able to have access to provide grace right to his memory. That's one of the reasons why, like on four or five different occasions, he picked the exact same date to do those things, because of that supernatural memory that he had been granted by the souls in purgatory. Now, on top of this, there's this one last detail about how he died that you need to really consider. Whenever we have a devotion to anything, we become like what we are devoted to. So if we have an incredible devotion to Jesus suffering on the cross, we're going to suffer some of those same things. If we have an incredible devotion to St. Francis of Assisi, we're going to emulate and look like some of that poverty just like him. Now, the way that he died reveals to us his incredible devotion to the souls in purgatory. Because of some of the political things that were happening around Italy at the time, he ended up declaring himself a prisoner in the Vatican. Who else is a prisoner in this sense? No one but the souls in purgatory, the prisoners of God's justice. So what does all this imply? First of all, absolutely encouraging your daily fervent devotion to the souls in purgatory, and that this is a friendship and an exchange. Pray for them, but they can obtain things for you, practical things like a better memory or help in the conversion of other people or healing of people that are sick in your lives. But in the larger picture, they have so much power that they can convert a liberal pope to become the most conservative, heroic pope that we could possibly ever imagine. Again, I honestly don't have any personal opinions about Pope Leo XIV. I haven't been following him. But some other people, maybe you don't like him. Maybe you think he's too liberal. Maybe you're part of the TLM and you wish that he supported it more and you don't know how to influence him. Well, now you do. Ask the souls in purgatory. They have sway, although technically the saints and Our Lady are holier than them, and technically they have more intercessory power because of God's compassion and the fact that they are suffering so much. He will sometimes hear their prayers before he hears the prayers of the saints and even Our Lady. Why? Because they're suffering at 10,000 degrees in the fires of God's justice. Of course he's going to hear their moans and their prayers, and especially if you have a daily devotion to them. And among other things, you should have recourse to Blessed Pope Pius IX, which is what he has been declared so far. Now, purgatory doesn't always transform the popes. Sometimes the popes end up going to purgatory and being there for a very long time. If you want to hear that story, check out this video right here. I'll see you in the next one.